And good morning again. I'm here to talk about health education, trying to look at what MDs and DOs do in this regard, and absolutely no disclosure to, no relationship to disclose. This presentation or this work was done jointly with Dr. Will Evans and other members of our team who are not here today. The question that we're interested in answering is whether primary care physicians are missing some opportunities for primary prevention. And the exact purpose was to assess self-reported levels of health education, patient engagement by medical and osteopathic primary care providers, and of primary interest is whether they are actually providing health education advice to patients when needed. It's been a long road with this story of heart disease prevention, heart education, since far back in 1979, the U.S. Surgeon General gave out the Healthy People proposal, and even in 2010, this proposal was reevaluated again, and we see that a lot has been done. But concerns are still there whether patients are actually getting the health education that they need, especially when they need them. And so our goal was to go into the secondary, the National Ambulatory Medical Care Survey data set and pull data from 2005, 2006, 2007 to try to see whether during patient visits, health education was actually provided. And our main response question there was the provision of health education, and predictors were wide. There were a wide range of predictors we put in there. Primarily, we look at the healthcare provider type, MDDOs, and then we look at patient characteristics, sociodemographics and conditions, especially hypertension, obesity, diabetes. And we also look at visit characteristics. Why were you visiting these doctors? Whether you were there for primary prevention, injuries, and other things. And also look at physicians' characteristics and practice characteristics, the type of setup, office setup, those who own those organizations, and so forth. And this data was analyzed using SAS version 9.13, and we applied a complete complex survey design to be able to make projection to a national population estimate based on the samples that were collected. And those things were included patient visit weight, clusters, and strata. And the outcome, the statistical outcome that we're interested in was odds ratios, the likelihood that people were being provided advice and reported confidence intervals to determine whether those things were significant or not. There are over 286 billion patient visits within the period projected nationally, and over 7% were done by DOs and a little bit over 92% by MDs. And the provision of general health education during these visits were done for about 103.8 million patient visits. That was a little bit about 37%. We realized from the data that less advice was rendered as patient age increased, but this did not differ by gender. Blacks were more likely to be advised compared to whites and other races too. And in both cases, there was over a significantly 40% increased odds that that will happen. Looking at patient characteristics, very few are summarized here. As I said, a wide range of characteristics were observed. We discovered that you are more likely to be advised on health promotion or disease prevention when you have you are obese compared to when you are not, when you are hypertensive, and when you are diabetic. When we look at the visit characteristics, those who are visiting for reasons like pre or post surgery, they were more like they were less likely to be advised. Those who actually came in there solely for preventive care, they were more likely to be advised. Those who came in for injury-related visits, less likely. A lot of those who came in and they said they were there for non-medication therapy, they were more likely. Of course, those who were enrolled in disease management programs also got more advice. Look at physician characteristics. When the physicians have RN and LPN involved in the patient care, there are a lot of advice provided. And complementary and alternative medical care providers were also more likely to give advice to the patients. This the pillars here are a little bit shorter compared to this because very few responses were in these categories. That's the only thing. But we look at these to show that there were more advice given in all of this area. And all these presented here, they're all significant. I didn't bother to put those that were not significant. Looking at practice characteristics, when you're a freestanding clinic, they're less likely to advise their patients. Community health centers were more likely to provide health education. I'm sorry that this pillar blocked up. But when the practice was being owned by those who actually owned them, less advice was given. This pillar is actually turned loud. I'll move this a little bit. I'm sorry about that. And when the employees were more likely to advise also. A few things here also were very important. When we decided to look at, compare this, the provision of health education between MDs and DOs, adjusting for a few factors, we discovered that MDs were more likely to provide advice, this compared to DOs, when adjusted for BMI. And this, there was actually an effect modification here, so, such that those who are actually normal were more advised. That the body mass index was normal. They were more likely to be advised by MDs compared to DOs. But the rest of the other categories, DOs were more likely to provide health education compared to MDs, especially when adjusted by, that is, in the practice, there was a mix with psychotherapists involved, or whether or not they involved the mental health care physicians. So we discovered that DOs were more likely to provide these things compared to MDs in those regards. And you could look at a lot of the others that were adjusted. But in general, all these ostriches showed that they were more likely to provide us education. First, we discovered that when we look at the exact samples, when we pull the exact sample without providing any weight, without trying to do a national projection, there was actually no difference in the provision of health education between these two provider types, whether an MD or a DO. But when we weighted them, tried to project it to the entire country, we observed over a 30% increased odds that DOs were going to provide health education to the patient that they meet compared to MDs. In a few slides back, we saw that on the pillar that was projected out there, we said, generally, providers will provide health education to patients when they are hypertensive, they are diabetic, or they are obese. But that was if they actually diagnosed that by themselves. If these patients do not really come out as being sick and they were diagnosed, they will not give them any advice. So they were reactive to what they see. But when we went in there and actually statistically analyzed body mass indices that were provided or blood pressures that were measured, we analyzed them ourselves to see and categorize them into situations where you are likely to be overweight, not really typically obese, or you are likely to be at risk for hypertension. We discovered these patients were less likely to be advised. And so we saw that they were not being proactive. And also we discovered that self-pain patients were more likely to receive advice in general. A few limitations were noted. The first and foremost was the fact that these data were collected in offices, medical offices, and so they were provided by physicians and by their personnel, not really for the purpose of research. So to use them for research, obviously, you will not meet all the standards, like you cannot ensure a lot of invalidity. And then we know that a lot of doctors will complain they are busy, so they will not complete the surveys. The survey does not allow investigators to determine the kind of advice that they actually give. We're not able to get into details. And in many areas, they will not provide the information, so there were limited samples. So there are areas that we're interested to get but will not find significance because the numbers were very small, there are a lot of variability, so you find unstable confidence intervals. But what do we take home from this? The general thing is that advice, health education advice has been provided to patients, but at a rate that is a little bit under 40%. And there's a lot of inconsistencies between when advice is provided, whether the patients are actually diagnosed by their doctors that these patients are sick, and the point is that they're mostly reactive and rather than being proactive. So if you're sick, they can really see that you're sick, they'll be able to advise you. But if you are on a borderline, you're at risk when it is much more needed, those advice are not provided. And so the conclusion is that the opportunities for delivery primary prevention are being missed somehow, especially when they very much need them. Especially because if you are overweight, for example, that's when they need your advice so that you don't get obese, rather than waiting until you get obese. If you are at risk for hypertension, it's better for you to be advised so that you can take care of that, rather than waiting until you're very sick. And so the idea is, where do we go from here? I want to allude to the earlier presenters in this session. They've talked a little bit about what they are doing to be able to do more of this, to make sure that they provide education, they provide training, which is a good thing. And I also encourage those who are doing research to keep designing not only programs to evaluate, but programs to actually train and programs to actually do the intervention to help people do that. And we've done a few that we've presented in other sessions, and we're still doing more. And thank you for your time. Thank you.